Hello, everybody, and welcome to Session 4 of Star Trek Lesser Halls, our totally original series that may or may not be based on Star Trek Lower Decks. I'm your Game Master, ELH, and as you can tell, we're all in costume tonight because, you know, it's some certain event happening in the near future that may or may not be Halloween, so we figured, what the hell. But yeah, the other thing I would say is that if you are brand new to Star Trek Adventures, or if you are just brand new to Star Trek role-playing in general, I encourage you to stick around, because I like to think we make a very good showing of both the system and of role-playing in general. But, you know, I figure, you know, Drill and Converse and Cardi, they blow me out of the water in terms of costuming, so maybe ask them for the costuming tips. Maybe, you know, there's only so much I can do. Anyway.
My tip is Ascots all the way.
Ascots all the way. There you go. The only announcement that I have is that if you don't know already, on the 25th, Monday, I will be doing a 12-hour subathon birthday stream. I do definitely encourage you all to drop in and see what that's all about. I will be hosting a Klingon one-shot, and then there will be a TOS one-shot run by another individual, Dare Wolf. You may recognize him from other games. And then I will be running Motley Heights. So it'll be my one-shot, my Klingon one-shot, the Ignitrix one-shot, and then the Motley Heights Season 3 opener. Should be a good time. And there's also incentives for subs, so if you want to make me have a really weird pizza, or if you want to make a Hero Forge figure with me, or if you want to make me sing, please don't make me sing, that all can happen on the 25th. But enough about that. Let's get our players to introduce themselves, and then we'll jump into some play here. So, Drill, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Drill, or Drillian. I play the Zahian Ensign Keela.
Hello, I am Picardi, and I play Ensign Thriller, or Shreyas Thriller. I am the happy-go-lucky, angry Andorian. I'm trying to get more angry.
I'm C4A, and I play Ensign Gemma Solaris, the Zebolian engineer.
Love it. All right, well, I believe a certain engineer... Wait, you're all engineers. I think Solaris has the opening lock, so if you want to take it away, go for it.
Alrighty. Stardate 96195.6. The Phoenix has just finished towing the USS Sparrow back to Deep Space October due to one of its nacelles being lost after attempting to land on a planet. Stopping at the station was also good for our ship because we were able to restock on supplies. In a sense, I suppose you could use the Terran phrase, two birds, one stone. For now, the Phoenix is just cruising the Sabine Expanse until we get new orders. This has given me plenty of time to get familiar with the layout of the ship, as well as become familiar with some of the crew and their habits. You would be surprised at how frequently items get misplaced on a starship, even one of the Phoenix's size. Speaking of that, I've found exactly 26 more coffee cups, 13 half-eaten meals, a Snuggie? And a hydro spanner in places they shouldn't be. I just don't understand how people can live with things out of order. Space is chaotic enough without wondering where you've left something. I mean, the average Joe leaving a cup of Joe would never fly with me. I tried to reprogram the replicators to stop supplying coffee. Tried probably isn't the word I should use. I did revise the computers, but not even a day later, I was sent a direct message from my boss's boss, Lieutenant Commander Thitolot, which said to cease and desist. Oops. Minor chastisement aside, the atmosphere on board seems to be one of excitement. It is the season that is known as All Hallows' Eve. This has kept me very busy with requisitions coming in by the hour for decorations, suites of various varieties, and uniform patterns to be redesigned with the replicators. Some of the costumes I recognize from our library banks, and others are rather interesting interpretations of characters I've never heard of, but look interesting. Personally, I chose Maverick from the classic Terran movie Top Gun, because he likes to take to the skies and explore the furthest reaches that he can. Oh, that's my alarm going off. I gotta head to meet the others. Solaris out.
We have two momentum for that lovely opening log. All right. So where we're going to begin today's episode is the three of you arriving outside of main engineering. So the reason you're meeting outside is because I figured you three wanted to kind of enter in as a group, but also because this is a great opportunity for you all to see each other in costume before you actually introduce into the party proper. So let's say it's one of those situations where you guys kind of meet in a T juncture where you each come from a different direction and you just sort of like meet in the middle right before one of the doors to main engineering.
Okay.
And the other bit of data or a little bit of information I'll tell you is that the hallways, cramped as they are, they do have like faux cobwebs up. There's even like a faux insect motif in one of the corners. There's even, a witch on a broom kind of motif that's kind of hanging on a wall. It seems that the crew is really taken to the Halloween spirit, as it were. But yeah, all three of you.
Did Thriller set up another holographic spider dancing?
I didn't even realize what day it was. I was in the holodeck. Somebody pulled me out of it, gave me this, and now the whole place is messy. What's happened?
Yeah, it's been a lot.
What day is it?
It's what they know or what they call All Hallows Eve or Halloween.
I completely forgot. Okay. That explains this. Cool.
Behind you guys, Keela. Keela will come running. She's like, guys, how are you doing? She'll like come running down. You'll see TM has legs sticking out the side of him. So like Urchi, whatever. We don't know what he is yet. As if he's a spider. And they're just like bouncing as he runs. We're like, hi!
Wow, that extra hour of reprogramming actually paid off. He looks amazing.
So what are you guys? What did you guys dress up as?
I'm a pilot from the movie Top Gun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We need to watch that. If that's yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that.
You should. I'll pull it up in the library later.
Yeah. And what are you, Stress?
Somebody gave me this. I don't know what it's from, but I do have a strange urge to make a trap.
Huh.
Oh. Maybe that'll come in handy later. We'll see. It's good to keep.
Maybe in a zone of danger.
Colonel Mustard?
Colonel Mustard? Yeah, maybe. Hmm. I don't have a wrench though. Oh, damn.
We're engineers. I'm sure you can find one somewhere.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've been informed that the festivities are taking place down the hall. Shall we?
Ooh, yes. Let's go.
Yes.
So I'm going to actually save that complication, Darewolf, but thank you for the sub. The complication will come. Just hang on to that thought. But as you all walk into main engineering, even before the door opens, you can feel the bass coming from main engineering. And the moment the door opens, you're almost hit with a wall of sound. And it is basically the soundtracks to Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas and every single Halloween, like, festive, like kids show that you would show to kids. Like, it's the stereotypical over the top Halloween music. But what you also see is that the motifs that are in the hallway extend into the main engineering as well, where the warp core itself has been wrapped up in orange and black lighting. There are hollow pumpkins that are floating through the space being projected by the hollow emitters in the main engineering. There's even a spectral cat that's kind of walking around and walking on walls and the ceiling. And what you're also seeing is that most of the crew, small crew of 20 on the Phoenix, there are about 10 people here. But before you can really start to get a good look at any of them, suddenly there's a noise and you all look up and a man drops down. And he looks up and you see that it is Commander Baker. And he is dressed as, well, a Jedi. And he says, well, hello there. Well, didn't quite expect to see all three of you at once.
General Baker. And she'll go, like with nothing in her hands and with that voice.
I see you get the reference. Very good. Very good.
Yes.
He had the high ground.
Ah, you are so a fan. Wonderful. Oh, well, glad to have you all here. Let me introduce you to everybody else, because I don't think I've quite introduced you to everybody. And he starts, going down the line. And I'm just going to throw a few tokens and roll 20 so you can just kind of get a visual picture for them. But the first person he introduces to you is Acacian. And he says, this is Lieutenant Commander Hamira. And Hamira turns and is like halfway eating like a bit of cake. And she goes, swallows. Sorry. Hi, I'm Hamira. You're the new people, right? Hold up. I know this. You're Killa. You're Thur. And you are Solaris.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, did I get it wrong?
Well, I'm actually pronounced Killa, but I like Killa for tonight. I may just keep it.
And I'm Solaris.
Hey, I should make a note of that somewhere because, you know, I am the one keeping you all alive being the CMO, so I should probably get that right. And Baker actually, like, what, you know, kind of laughs off the awkward thing, goes, such a kidder, that one. Anyway, moving on, and he kind of nervously pushes you past her. And the next individual that he'd like to show off to you is, you already know Thetolat because he's your boss's boss. But the next person he introduces to you is Lieutenant Commander T. Now, T looks to be a human, but with several key distinctive features. First of all, he has startlingly purple eyes. And you'd almost say, looking at them, that they're artificial because they sort of have a slight glow to them that doesn't quite add up with, like, natural, quote-unquote, homegrown eyes. He has short black hair. And he has kind of raking scar marks across his left eye. And he is dressed as what looks to be like an old-timey, like, pirate captain. Like, full-on lapel and everything else. Hamira, which I forgot to mention her, she was dressed up as, like, a Vegas bunny girl. So, you know, that's what she was in. With T here, you know, he kind of notices Baker coming closer. And he says, ah, vast ye landlubber, who you be bringing to my crew? And Baker just goes, okay, he's really doing the bit. I don't know if we should play along or...
Aye, sir! Lieutenant, Ensign Killa reporting for duty, sir.
Ah, you'd be a fine addition to me, crew. What about you? Pointing at Thriller.
I am Ensign Thriller. Sir?
Okay, kind of looks at you for a moment. I'm going to need you to give me a better R.
R.
No. You have to enunciate. You have to go R.
R?
There you go.
Okay.
And then he turns to Solaris. Hold on. I be sensing you be in a zone of danger.
R. That I do. Permission to come aboard and join these festivities.
Aye, ye be welcome. And he actually turns and snaps his fingers, and they've got it rigged up so that the replicator actually is kind of doing like a dumbwaiter thing where it's sort of materializing drinks like out of a big punch bowl, and it's just sort of putting them on a platter, which then sort of, because again, you know, you already have the floating pumpkins and the cat. They just sort of float around on these holographic platters, and one of those platters comes over to you all, and T takes a cup off and offers one to each of you. And regardless of if you take one or not, but to those who do, he kind of raises a glass and he says, aye, to the finest crew in Starfleet.
You're here.
I was wondering what I asked me to do these floating things.
Aye, this be you then, pointing at the pumpkins.
Supposedly. Yes.
Well,
yes,
the replicators.
Ah. Well, and he kind of claps you both in the back a little too hard. You be doing a fine job. And in a out-of-character voice, he adds in a whisper, so I kind of got asked by the captain to do this, like, over the top. Am I doing a good job?
Just fine.
Okay.
You're doing amazing. Doing amazing. But you could always ramp it up if you want to. There's always room for more.
I agree. I could be doing much, much more parity things. Computer! Give me a peg leg. Computer chirps for a little bit, and then his left leg sort of shimmers with the hologram, and he now has a holographic peg leg.
Hi, sir, you're looking fine today. Did you just recently polish your legs, sir?
Ah, yes, it is made of the finest wood used to spear the mighty whale.
Ah, nothing less for the captain.
Aye. That's me, hearty. Arr, arr.
Oh, Lord. At this point, you know, Baker is, like, not sure whether he should laugh or pity T at this point. And Baker's like, we'll be back to see you, T. There's one other person I want you all to say hello to. And he kind of shepherds you away. And the next person he shows to you is one that you have seen in the hallways, but haven't really introduced yourselves yet, or vice versa. And this is, I would say, a younger-looking human. He is actually wearing, like, a stereotypical, like, janitor's outfit from, like, a school or an office building. You know, kind of that onesie jumpsuit that's kind of like a green or a blue with the cap on as well. And he also has on a big bushy mustache, as it were. If I had to put it in a nutshell, basically think Futurama scruffy. That's what he's going for. But he has actually got a mop out, and he is literally mopping up some sort of spill in one of the corners of the engine room. And as Commander
Baker,
well, that's what I'm getting to. As Baker walks up with all of you, he says, "Oh, Jensen, you do know you're not on duty right now. This is a party, right?" And Jensen stops mopping, pauses, turns to look back at you, and he says, "A janitor's work is never done. A janitor's on duty every single moment of his life."
Do you want some assistance with that?
Yes, actually, if you could use that broom over there.
Just a sec.
Some.
I'm going to try to make another hologram just exactly looking like him.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. Let's make that a roll. And you guys also did get a momentum from chat, so you should be at 3 right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Drill keeping track of this? Because
I can, unless you want to.
No, I never learned how to do it. So
okay, I can do it.
As long as somebody's doing it. All right, so this is going to be a pretty simple roll, but there is going to be a complication I'll add on whether you succeed or fail, because that's the other redeem chat did. But just go ahead and give me a control and an engineering difficulty of 1, and you would have a focus of holograms.
Yay. So it's 2 dice. Focus. Let's see how badly we go. It'll be great. I can't wait.
Nice.
Oh, I did well.
That's actually quite well indeed. That is a grand total of 3 successes, meaning you get 2 momentum, bringing you up to 5. So
starting off strong.
So you create another hologram of Jensen, as it were, and Hollow Jensen begins to help regular Jensen. But the complication is, about 2 seconds into him beginning to mop things up, there's kind of a clatter, and you all look as Hollow Jensen now no longer has a broom or a mop. He now has a lightsaber, and he's waving it about. And, you know, Jensen's like, what the hell? What? Why does he have a lightsaber? And Baker looks like he has had the best time of his life, because he goes, "Hold on, everybody. I got this." And he pulls out not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 lightsabers and goes, "All right, you want a duel, buddy? We can duel." And unless you stop him, begins basically...
I'll take it away.
Yeah, he just begins lightsaber battling with Hollow Jensen.
Can I add some summer shade. Done.
As Baker and Hollow Jensen kind of move about, you know, providing entertainment, Jensen sort of leans into you, Solaris, and says, "You're the ensign. You're my superior. You're the one that does the coffee cup thing. Yeah, the getting rid of all those nonsense."
"I do, and I tried, but I was told to stop."
Yeah, I know. It's a conspiracy. I know. All of Starfleet's in on it.
Who is doing this?
Well, it's Big Coffee. It's got to be Big Coffee.
Oh. By then, it dawns on her. She's like, "Oh."
Well, you know about Big Coffee, right?
I've heard of it.
Well, I mean, just look at Ensign Keela over here. I mean, she looks like she's ready to tell you everything about Big Coffee.
Actually, don't know about this. I'm actually quite interested.
I will mark that on my list of things to do to look up in the library. But
you guys talk about Big Coffee?
Oh, no.
You know about it?
Of course, I've been reading up on it. That's a conspiracy.
Oh, I see. Then, what rank are you? And he actually kind of rolls up one of his sleeves and he shows like a no sign, but it's like a coffee mug with a no sign over it. He says, I'm a second class, what are you, Ensign Thriller?
Well, decaf rank.
Decaf rank. Yes. Well, don't worry. In a few years, you'll make it up to my rank.
I myself, I believe they told me I was a cold brew.
And at this, he actually kind of looks you up and down. Like, he's looking at you as if you're a new person, kind of looks you up and down and goes, really? Solaris, if you could roll me a presence and con, please. Difficulty of two.
A presence and a what?
And a con.
Nice.
I know, totally your power stats here.
Sure.
You have 5 momentum, though. You may wish to.
Do you want
to
use a momentum?
Yes.
Okay. Be rolling 3 dice then.
Oh, okay. And I don't really have a focus. Okay. 3 dice. 3d20. No focus.
All right. There's your 2 successes that you need. And, you know, Jensen kind of looks you up and down and says, oh, yeah, cold brew? I see why you don't know about big coffee. Oh, wink.
Thank you for keeping it subtle.
No, it's all good. I'll be a little bit more discreet in the future.
Thank you.
Gotta look good because, man, I haven't seen a cold brew rank in years. Man, this is an honor.
Time.
Can I get your autograph? And he, like, holds out his mop.
Sure.
And he produces a silver Sharpie and hands it over to you.
And so Solaris just kind of throws the other two a look like, what have I done? Like, goes to sign them up.
Jensen takes it back, looks at it and goes, wow, an actual cold brew signed mop. Man, I can't mop up with this now. I gotta like display it.
Don't you be selling it anywhere. I will know.
Yeah, you're right. This is a very special item. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go put this in my quarters where it deserves to be displayed.
If you get any more intel on who's leaving these around, let me know.
You got it, boss. And then Jensen kind of gives an actual salute and then walks out of main engineering.
Said I knew it better. I didn't mean I was part of it.
Oh, what is a big coffee? I have no idea, but
I'll explain later.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
It goes deep.
Okay.
And dark.
Do I need to start replicating tin foil hats?
No.
Okay.
That's a conspiracy in its own.
Okay. I'm not familiar with these full conspiracies. But okay.
The light reading I do.
Okay. Shall we head to the... I believe those are some type of food. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Food! Let's go! And she'll just go.
So there is actually a table of food. And it is basically your standard Halloween party finger foods, meaning you've got little pastries shaped in like pumpkins. There's a few like witches on brooms, like sugar cookies. There's an actual punch bowl that's separate from the replicator. If you were to lean in and just give a very, very, you know, hesitant sniff of the punch bowl, you could tell that there's actual liquor in there, not synthahol, actual liquor. You're also seeing that there are what appear to be just some little sausages, like actual like meat on display. There's also these little like quiche things, though you're not quite sure what they are, because when you take a small nibble, it doesn't taste like a quiche. And then you're pretty sure those purple things are, you pick up a purple thing, look at it. It's a cube that is purple. Yeah, you have no idea what that is.
I didn't write this code.
Keely will just pop it. And show.
I'd like you to roll me a fitness medicine, difficulty of 1.
Okay. Fitness medicine.
Oh.
And I'm just going to tell you that complication on this, oh boy.
Roll high.
Just like, should I use momentum?
That's your call.
Do it. Do it.
I mean,
do
it's more dice, but it's also more chances for a complication.
Do it.
Do it.
All right, there you go. You got your two successes, so you get your momentum, and you feel fine. At least at first. You feel fine, and then like you get this overwhelming urge that you need to burp. And my question is, do you?
Yes.
All right. So because you did succeed on this, you actually can control this effect. But when you burp, it's not just like a rude noise. It's actually like a little gout of fire.
Is this food safe for everyone on the ship?
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Including TM?
I would say you probably don't want to give it to TM, but all the humanoids aboard will probably be okay.
Okay. She's like, guys, look. And she go, and then like fire.
Right.
No. She'll take like two more and stick them in her pocket.
Solaris takes a step back, like,
I'm going to grab some punch and go,
I think Keela will continue. Yeah, Keela will continue to snack on the table.
Nice. So, Thriller, you're getting in with the punch. What is Solaris doing while they're going at it?
She's going to rummage through the candy bowl.
Okay. You looking for anything in particular?
She's hoping something with chocolate.
Would you like a Mars bar or would you like something else?
Sure, that'll be fine.
Okay. And when I say Mars bar, I don't just mean like the literal in real life Mars bar, but it's like you pick it out and it's from actual Mars, the planet kind of a thing. But as you're starting to unwrap it, you hear like the Duel of Fates music as Baker at this point has gotten up on the side of the warp core with the Holo Jensen, and they just have the most amazing light show going on. At one point, Baker slices through the Holo Cat, but then the two halves of the Holo Cat rejoin and start to like hiss and, you know, sort of bat at Holo Baker. It's just a whole display. Like, I could go into very long length about this, but just imagine the most amazing sideshow you've ever seen going on next to the warp core.
And Keela will be cheering. And no one knows which side she's cheering for. She'll be like,
his allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy.
Yay, democracy, go! Keela has no idea what's going on, but she's excited.
This is the best day of my life.
Unfortunately, this is where the best day of your life begins to go downhill, because in a single moment, everything goes dark. I mean everything, from lights, the warp core, the emergency lights, pitch darkness. And
who
for a moment,
turned out the lights?
I was going to say, and for what seems to be the next few minutes, nothing's on. Not even life support. Just silence and darkness.
I run to a console to see if I can activate something, like see if I can activate like life support and stuff.
Emergency exit. We need to get out of here and get down to engineering.
Well, you are an engineer. You are a main engineer.
Oh, we are? Well, I thought we were on the holodeck.
No, you're main engineering this entire time.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Now, if it was the holodeck, I wouldn't be that mean. But no, this is main engineering. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, Thriller. It happens. Sometimes those little details get lost. But no, Thriller. Since you are in absolute darkness right now, I'm gonna have you do let's call this a fitness and engineering. And let me set the difficulty here to 2 because you are in absolute darkness.
Oh. Darkness, my old friend.
Should I make fun with the step? I'll take one. Can I take a thing?
Momentum,
yeah. Yeah, momentum. Cool. I'll do 3.
Okay.
All right,
I believe. Let's see what you get.
No focuses?
if you have anything related to memory, maybe. Or spatial awareness? I could give you spatial awareness.
Nope.
All right, I think you're just... All right, so that is going to be your two successes that you need. So, luckily, you have enough presence of mind that you don't knock over the food table or the punch bowl as you're, like, finding your way to a console. But when you do get to a console and you actually feel the cold panel, it doesn't respond. Like, it doesn't even turn on. It just... You sort of tap it a few times. Nothing.
Is anyone like screaming or talking, or is it just silence?
Oh, it is silence, besides what you three are making.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Kayla's gonna take out her tricorder and she's gonna scan the area, see if she can find anything on.
So when you open the tricorder, for the first like 3 seconds, the lights light up, it makes the scanning noise. But then I'd like you to imagine that instead of the scanning noise, it's like a low rumble. And at first you kind of hold it up to your ear and you're like, what the hell is this noise? And then you realize that it's not a rumble. It is a demonic roar of some sorts that's getting louder and louder and louder until you either throw the tricorder or close it.
Yeah, she's going to chuck it across the room.
All right. So, Thriller, what I'm going to say is that you hear the tricorder hit the wall somewhere to your left, and then the tricorder falls to the ground and sort of sputters and sparks and then ceases to function.
I'd like to try communication to contact anybody on the bridge to figure out what is going on.
Sure.
Because surely we're partying in shifts.
So you go to tap your comm badge, and even your comm badge doesn't get anywhere.
Is anyone else here?
You do hear that.
Sound and, off and if you can hear us.
TM's here. Roof. She'll pat TM next to her.
There was like, how many people in here before?
About 10 plus us. Well, 9, because... oh my gosh.
Jensen
left. So
is this big coffee?
12 of us total. Oh my god, don't even.
What? I don't know what big coffee is.
I don't think it is.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask. Yeah, I don't know.
Did people just get teleported off that?
I don't know.
Is there anybody on the floor, like unconscious?
Do you want to crawl around and find out?
And Keela will be on the ground feeling out if there's anyone there.
Yeah, roll me a challenge die. Just one challenge die, and if you roll an effect, you'll find something. A 2? You know, I'll still give you something for a 2. So you're, again, in utter darkness, you're kind of on, you know, you're kind of on the ground, like crawling, kind of doing that hesitant sort of touch thing where you like don't want to go too eager and you don't want to go too slow kind of a thing. And eventually you do feel what seems to be like the tip of a boot, and you trace up and you're pretty sure that you find the hem of a pant leg. And I don't know how much you are in real life, about textiles, but... I think it's probably safe to say that you could feel out the texture of the fabric and know that it's basically the same thing that Commander Baker was wearing.
Oh boy.
Okay, so she'll like shake his lower leg and then maybe try and reach farther up to see if she can grab his arm with her other hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Commander Baker! Commander Baker!
And what I would tell you is that as you shake the leg and then go for his arm, when you touch his arm, it is clammy cold.
Guys, this isn't good.
What is it? What did you find?
He's clammy and unconscious, I believe. And she's going to like try and find if she can get his pulse.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So this is, again, in darkness. So I would like you to do a...
So she's just like...
Yeah, you're kind of like just sort of patting his chest and his neck. You're like trying to find the right spot. Go ahead and give me a control and a medicine. Again, because of the darkness, I'm going to make it a difficulty of 2. And if you have anything related to... I would actually say if you have anything related to away team leadership or away team management, I would also say that you do have a tool that you picked up in this session that you could use that would lower the difficulty.
Oh, I'm gonna burp.
There you go.
And make fire. I'm gonna do that.
All right, so you pull out a cube.
But she's gonna sit straight. She's not gonna look down when she does this.
Good call. I was gonna ask. So what I'm gonna say then is I'm gonna switch that roll. If you want to give me another fitness medicine, that would be at a difficulty of one. But if you do this correctly, you actually can produce light with the flame that you create.
Okay.
All right. So what that's going to mean with another three successes is that you're going to be not only Captain Momentum, but almost like a pilot light. You almost kind of emit this like white-blue flame that provides just enough light for you all to get the shadows and the patterns and the shapes and sizes that are in main engineering. And what you see is that everybody that was in there is now on the ground, unconscious.
Well, hot diggity dog, what happened here?
And of course, the moment you say that and you stop burping, the flame goes out and you go back into darkness.
Can she do like a little mini burp? And it's like just a very little bit of fire.
Yeah. What happened?
Do we have something that we can hold up so when she does it, it can catch on fire? We still have a
I was thinking the exact same thing.
We have, there was, it's real alcohol. That burns. Go to the punch bowl.
Do you want to light the punch bowl on fire?
I want to light the punch bowl on fire.
And like a great goblet of fire, it roars to life. And you now have a literal beacon, a literal bowl of light that you guys can move around.
The beacons are lit.
The Gondor calls for aid.
And it's about that time as you get the beacon, I guess as we'll call it. As you get the beacon, Solaris, your comm badge does actually chirp.
Solaris, to anybody, what's going on out here?
This is Commander STA. My accent will only last but so long, but I am wondering what is going on in main engineering. We lost sensor contact down there.
A good question.
Captain?
Yes, that would be me.
Okay. We're not quite sure. We're just in the festivities and all of a sudden everything is gone dark. There are at least... was it 9 people here unconscious? Is it dark up on the bridge as well?
You actually don't get a reply. There's just silence.
She kind of like, because she had been like kind of moving in place a little bit, she tried to go back to where she had first heard the chirp, hoping like maybe it's like one hot spot signal.
It's a very good thought, but what I'm going to tell you is when you reconnect, what you hear is Astie, or someone who sounds like Astie, saying,
"That is not so. They would not abandon us. Yes, I'm quite sure." Oh, I see. Well, the only way you are taking my ship is over my cold head, dead, and then you just hear like a disruptor blast, and then the comm goes completely silent.
Nothing. Doesn't even chirp.
I don't think this is good.
Yeah. We may have just witnessed a murder.
Yep. I'm going to try to spend a little bit of time trying to get this place up and running.
So that
again.
Puts Commander Baker in charge if the captain has been...
Yeah. But he's unconscious.
Okay.
Who was on?
I don't remember off the top of my head who was on duty on the bridge at the moment, but I can't get any signal.
All right. Okay, calm down. got a situation. We are in the brig.
I am calm.
Yes. Yeah. Calm down. Okay. All right. We're gonna get this place up and running. This is the bridge. I mean, this is this can be the bridge, so we could take control if we need to.
I know.
We're just gonna get it up and running again.
Keela wants to go to the door to see if she can get it open.
All right. So it doesn't automatically respond like it normally would when you walk up to a door in Star Trek, but you can confirm that the manual lever or the manual mechanism will work. You just have to sort of turn the lever.
Okay, she will.
All right. So the moment you pull the lever, there's actually a great suction effect as you actually peek out and see pitch dark of space. So you can kind of see the twinkling sort of lights of all the stars, but you are basically opening up into vacuum.
Okay, she's going to shut it.
All right. Suction effect stops.
What was it?
We've
that
lost some of our oxygen.
It's space, guys. There's space.
There's plenty of space. Yes.
It's just space. And she just keeps kind of like repeating that. Like, yes. Why is there space outside the door?
Okay, we need to figure out what happened on the bridge, what happened with the life support, who has possibly boarded our ship, and how to help all these unconscious people on the floor.
Does anyone have first aid training?
I have a little bit of medical training.
We all got a little bit, but that's all I got.
How much is your little bit?
Academy.
Okay.
Starfleet Academy, you know, they would be
out of five.
Out of character, what is
your character? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you were asking me.
Mine is two.
I thought we were still talking character.
Out of character.
My medicine is one.
Mine is two, like the number two, not also.
Yeah, mine is as well two.
Okay.
That went right over my head.
It's all right.
All right. Well, Solaris and Thriller, if you both want to get, well, decide which one of you is going to take the lead, and then the other one will assist. I'm going to set the difficulty here at a 3 to diagnose what's actually happened to the unconscious individuals. Okay. Again, if you are assisting, you're rolling 1d20, and if you have a focus that applies, in this instance, I would say emergency medicine, triage.
I've got observation.
I would give you observation.
Okay.
And then the main leader, just remember that you do have to declare how many dice you're rolling with momentum before the assist roll is made. And right now you have 6 momentum to spend.
Okay. Shiraz, are you okay with me going lead on this one?
Are you looking? I'm very nervous looking. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. What was the difficulty again?
The difficulty is going to be a 3, so you probably want to buy some dice here.
Yes.
How many?
Use 3 momentum for 2, if you want.
So use 3 momentum?
Yeah, 3 momentum would let you roll 4 dice.
Okay. Let's try that.
All right.
So I'm rolling a medicine with what?
A control or a reason plus medicine here.
Oh, okay. Let's try reason. Reason plus medicine. Oh, no, that's engineering. Medicine. And that's 4 dice?
Correct.
Okay. And I have a focus.
Assist with the same?
Assist with the same. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, well, there's already your 4, so you're already getting past the success here. All right, that's a total of 5, which means you get 2 momentum back. And Solaris and Thriller, what you guys realize as you kind of take stock based on, well, I don't know if you would use your tricorders after what happened to Drill or to Keela's tricorder, but just doing a visual inspection and checking pulses and things of that nature, you're pretty sure that everyone in here besides yourselves were stunned. As in, like, someone with an energy weapon stunned them.
We didn't see the light from it. How?
We didn't even hear them hit the floor.
Correct. And if that wasn't unsettling enough, TM, actually their ears perk up and they go to one of the other doors out of main engineering and they sort of start growling at it. They kind of go like over and over and over as they growl at the door.
Keela will go investigate. She's like, what are you doing, TM? What's over here?
Pull my phaser and follow.
I don't trust the phaser, so I try to find something that's a little heavy to hold.
Well, you remember how I said Baker had a lightsaber prop? He yep. still has four of those.
Oh, just kidding. I want one of those.
I want one of those!
It's so armed with...
An
armed
excellent
with faux
addition
lightsabers.
To my collection.
Oh, I set this up and it's happening wonderfully. As you all grab your faux lightsabers and you advance on the door, I need to know who is in the lead right now.
It might be Keela because she probably went to it first to follow TM. Okay.
Solaris is right behind because she stopped to snag a lightsaber prop.
Okay.
Same.
So Keela, when you get to the door, it actually does open. But on the other side, you see yourself and Solaris and Thriller and your copy, your mirror, also has a lightsaber. And they're in their own version of main engineering.
She's going to wave her hand to see if it's a mirror or if it's like a clone.
So their hand does not move when yours moves. But their mouths open, but not in a natural way.
Oh.
And that's all I'm going to say because I find it to be ambiguous in this time is a little bit better than me describing it. But just imagine a mouth not opening the way it should. And a baleful scream starts to come from that unnatural mouth. And then all of a sudden that door that opened slams shut. And seals off not only them, but also the sound they were making.
I threw something at them before the door closed, so it's going to hit the door.
So whatever you threw just bounces off the door and falls to the ground.
Was it dark in their engineering?
It was, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Guys, it's not...
It's like we're in a pocket dimension or something.
It's not normal.
No.
There's something afoot here.
Somebody's playing tricks on us. It's always somebody with disguised.
So me as a player, question for the DM. Me as
yes.
a player would not know this, but I would imagine Solaris would.
Mm-hmm.
How much oxygen would we have left with life support being out and then 9 unconscious bodies on the floor?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because what Solaris would know is that by now you should start, like, feeling heat in the air, like you'd start running out of oxygen, but
okay.
You're breathing fine, and the atmosphere doesn't seem to be any less oxygenated than normal.
Okay. Count our blessings, I guess. We need to find another way out of here.
We need to find out what's going on.
Let's go to a Jeffrey's tube, try to get out that way.
Okay. And when you open the Jeffrey's tube, you find nothing. It's just a Jeffrey's tube. And actually, the lights are on in the Jeffrey's tube, believe it or not.
Shall we?
Follow the leader.
I mean,
so,
yeah, okay.
Three very important questions. One, who's in the lead? Two, are you carrying the lightsabers with you still? Three, are you going to leave anyone behind or a note or anything in main engineering before you leave?
Oh boy.
Ooh.
Yes to the lightsaber. I'll hook that on to the belt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should we leave a message? I still have that silver Sharpie from Jensen.
I don't know if I want to stay here, but we should probably let someone know that space is out that door and creepy clones are out that door.
And the fact that
everyone's unconscious.
She's going to go back over to, I guess, Baker and write it on his arm.
Nice.
And then I guess we should leave a message for the doctor that if they wake up anytime soon, or, you know, if when we fix this to, like, this is what was going on. So she'll do that too. She'll leave a message about, like, you know, what happened and what they think is going on their arm as well.
So the only reason I'm going to say no to that is because she's a Cation. She has fur. She doesn't have.
Oh.
Yeah, I probably should have clarified. So Cations are the cat people. They actually have like fur. And so I don't know that a Sharpie would go and work on fur, but you could write it somewhere else very easily.
Oh, did they have paper plates? She's wearing a Playboy Bunny outfit.
This is true, yeah.
Write it on the ground next to them.
No.
But we have plates. Is it paper plates? To make
there
it
are
feel
paper
like
plates,
Halloween?
Yeah.
Cool. Take one of those and leave it underneath her hand.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
All right. And yeah.
Can you imagine her later being like...
Yeah.
Silver out of her fur.
That's gonna be a fun Sonic shower
just
later.
Like New Year's.
All right. Well, as you all journey into the Jeffries tube, I think that's where we're gonna take a 5 to 10 minute break, and we'll be back very shortly, everybody. Stick around. Welcome back from break early, everyone. If you're just tuning in, the lovely crew of the USS Phoenix have encountered a spooky set of circumstances that started off with a little bit of frivolity and a little bit of laughter at the expense of some Star Wars puns, because yes, we crossed the streams here. Now it's getting a little bit weird. You've got people stunned and unconscious, you have engineering in pitch darkness, you have creepy clones in actual space out of the doorways. It's really weird, I think is the best way to say it. But the players are currently journeying through the Jeffries tubes to parts unknown. And that actually is going to be my first question as we zoom into the Jeffries tubes of the Phoenix. What is your guys' destination? Are you headed towards a specific spot on the Phoenix? Now, to sort of give a very brief overview of the Phoenix, you all are currently on deck 3. The bridge is on deck 1, and your quarters would all be on deck 4.
Where is security?
Security? Well, which security? Are you referring to the armory? Are you referring to the brig?
Armory.
Okay, if you're trying to get to the armory, that would be on deck 2.
Okay, it was just a suggestion. Because I'm thinking either that or the bridge. Thoughts, friends?
Armory first to suit up for the bridge?
I have a plan.
Okay.
So...
Follow the leader.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my next question, because I forgot over break, was who was in the lead again?
Solaris.
Solaris was in the lead. Yes. All right, so Solaris, this is more of a character question than it is like a personal knowledge question, but how well would you say Solaris has committed the Jeffries tubes to memories?
I'd say pretty well. She has been taking time to get to know the ins and outs, because, you know, everything in its place, it must go here, it must be there, this goes in this direction. So very well.
All right, so you're doing well. Cardi, what would you say is Thriller's second biggest fear? Not the first biggest fear, the second biggest fear.
Oh, yeah, that's tricky.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked it.
Oh, what's his biggest fear? That would probably have to be spider-like creatures.
All right, we've already used spiders, so can't use spiders. You got another one I could use. Actually, you know what? I got it. We'll keep that. So we're going to say, Thriller, you're in the middle between Keela and Solaris. And Solaris, you're doing the leadership thing. You're sort of leading everybody through the Jeffries tube, crawling along, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When, Thriller, you... start to feel a little hot under the collar, you know, you're under your ascot, as it were, and maybe you tug at it a little bit. And when you look at Keela, you realize that it looks like she kind of has spider legs now. Like, she's kind of got things coming from her back, and it's really triggering those spidery vibes, which you may or may not be enjoying right now.
Spidey senses.
Mm-hmm. You may have one momentum for that pun.
Okay. Spider. Oh, God. I'm trying to get as far away as possible from you.
Okay. What? So I guess he runs into me. Like, what? What?
Tress, what's wrong?
Is there a corridor I can take down the side to get away from?
I would say you can definitely push past Solaris, but again, it's a Jeffrey's tube, so it's kind of that crawl space area. So there are junctions where you can actually stand up, but you're going to have to definitely push past Solaris to get to one of those junctions.
Yeah, I'm going to try to push past.
What are you doing?
What?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, gotta get out.
Stress!
Where are you going?
Stress! What?
And how far are you going to run, Traz, I guess is the question.
How far can I run?
I mean, you could technically go to the other end of the ship if you wanted to. Because main engineering's kind of in the middle of the ship. And if you will remember, the Phoenix is kind of like a U shape. So you would have to kind of like curve around to the left or the right, or the port or starboard. But you could go, I don't know, about 60 meters down if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I just want to get as far away as possible. Okay. So, and then rest and just stop and just breathe. Okay.
So let's actually focus in on that a little bit before we go back to the girls. So you two, the girls, you see Shraz run out of sight. And maybe you'll have a conversation about that in a moment. But focusing in on Shraz, as you finally come to a stop at the absolute end of the Jeffrey's tube. You kind of stop, you take a few deep breaths, and then you look around. You have no idea where you are.
This is not familiar.
Now, one thing I'm going to say is you actually did just get a momentum from chat, which means you actually have one floating momentum right now. And something that I can use as a teachable moment is that you can spend two momentum to create an advantage, which is basically a narrative declaration where you can say within reason that maybe you find a map or maybe you find a working terminal or something that would help you in this situation. You can do that for two momentum. And that is something that's not just limited to his character. That is something you guys can do at almost any time as well. But just keep in mind that it is limited to sort of a once per scene thing, because if you're always spending the narratively declarate, you're going to run out of momentum really quickly.
Yep. So my guy is like super hyped right now. So like over, like he is panicking like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does find something to, like the console to distract him from that. So maybe, yeah, I'll do that. I'll have the console ready so I can go and start seeing a working console, and then maybe that's starting to help me calm down and distract me a little bit and helping me find out where I am.
All right, so go ahead and spend two momentum, which means one floating one you have, so you should be at five momentum overall. But Shraz, as you find the working terminal and you begin typing in and begin sort of calming yourself down, what you see doesn't make sense, and I feel like I've said that a lot, but when I say it doesn't make sense, I mean there's nothing wrong with the Phoenix. I mean, you see that main power is online, you see that life support's online, you see that the party and engineering is still going. Everything's fine.
It's fine, okay. I try my badge. Anyone there?
And Lou? The people who reply are going to be the girls. So let's go back to the girls for a moment. So again, to set the scene, you just saw Shraz run off, and you're in that moment still where Shraz has just disappeared around the corner.
What?
I don't know.
Did we say something?
I guess we need to just continue on with the plan.
Should we go for him?
Shraz? Are you okay, buddy?
I just had a minor panic.
Deep breaths.
Kila started turning into a spider-like creature, and I just had to get out of there because it started going and But I managed to find a working console.
Okay.
Everything seems fine.
Like, no. I don't see
anything wrong with the ship whatsoever.
Okay, I guess we could make our way to you. Where are you?
I still don't know. Give me a minute.
Well, describe it for me.
It's a junction in the Jeffries tube.
Okay, but is it a red junction or is it a blue junction?
Yes, what color is the tab up top?
Can I make it up or do you have any?
Make okay, it, go for it.
Just make it up.
It's a blue one.
Okay, and is it left to right or is it diagonal?
It's a cross junction.
Okay, I know exactly where he is.
Same, and let's go.
She'll start leading off.
All right. So as you all are en route, I now have to ask Keela, what's your second favorite thing in the world?
Favorite? Ooh. I was expecting fear.
I know, that's why I got to throw the curveball.
Her second favorite thing in the world. She loves to sing.
Loves to sing.
But she's too shy to become a performer. So
this is going
to
be perfect then.
It's like a private thing.
So I'm not going to actually ask you to sing because I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't have a pleasant voice, I promise. I do not sing well.
But what I would tell you is in character, as Solaris and Keela, as you're walking along through the Jeffries tubes, you begin to hear Ensign Keela singing. And it's not bad. It's not terrible. It's also not, quote unquote, amazing. It's just singing, you know. It's just, it's there. But I'm curious what Keela's reaction would be hearing herself through the Jeffries tubes.
She'll like kind of be like, and I think she takes a while to process that she's hearing it, because obviously when you hear your own self sing, it's different than listening to a recording, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she'd be like,
yeah.
Is that, I'm not singing.
I'm unfamiliar with this tune.
It's mine. I made it.
It really?
Yeah, I she kind of is in like, I don't know what to do mode. Because she's like, I don't, my voice, I don't, and she'll kind of like not know what to do.
Okay.
And it's in a different direction than Shras?
No, it's same direction.
Same direction. Okay.
Shras, so you're hearing none of this, by the way.
I understand. Yeah.
Keela will be very apprehensive to walk forward towards it.
So then
she will
go past her and keep going.
So nice. Keela's just like slowly going forward.
Come on.
The good news is that when you finally run back into Shras, the music stops, the singing stops, and you again are in a moment of silence, a moment of peace, to look at the console before Shras and confirm everything's fine on the ship, but also that Keela's not turning into a spider.
There's a spider.
And then as you take that deep breath, TM just barks loudly and maybe spooks you a little bit, just goes woof.
TM spider legs jiggle a little bit.
I'm backing up a little bit.
Are we being pranked?
I was wondering if you'd figure it out. And that's actually a voice coming from all three behind all three of you. And you like, I don't know if you jump or you turn slowly, but when you look, you actually see a figure you haven't met aboard yet. Like, this is an entirely new alien face. And it's actually a red-skinned individual, not unlike my avatar, with some prominent horns, some facial markings, golden eyes, etc., etc. But they are what is known as a cornet. They're just basically a red-skinned demon woman, if you will. But she's wearing the uniform of a crewman, and she's kind of looking at all of you and goes, You're new here, right? Because I haven't met you, and you don't know who the hell I am, so I'm going to guess you're new on the Phoenix, yeah?
Why don't you introduce yourself first?
Oh, sorry. Manners. Yeah, I forgot I gotta do this. I'm Crewman Cole. I kind of do all the weird maintenance work that they don't even give to ensigns. Like, whatever they don't give the ensigns, they give to me. So I was doing maintenance on the Junction 7C over there and saw you three gathering. And is there a celebration going on? Is there a party that I don't know about?
Don't worry, I didn't know about it either. But yes, there is one going on in engineering.
Did you both miss the shipwide email? Okay.
Well, I'm in the Jeffries tubes most of the time. I don't get shipwide announcements.
It was a message. It's fine. So what part of this was a prank on your part?
Oh, not on my part. Maybe I should have been more clear. You see, Astia is she's a great captain, but she kind of has a ritual where she tests new crewmen, new officers, where she sees how they work under fire, and I'm guessing
Keela will burp.
Oh, she brought out the flame cubes. Did she do the whole thing with the liquor in the punch bowl?
Yeah, we lit the room up.
Hmm. Yeah, she did that to the last ensigns that came through here as well. Though I think she transferred those ensigns off for some reason. I never figured out why. But I know you all technically outrank me, but I am afraid I have to tell you that you've been the victim of a prank.
I'm going to go to console. I'm looking pissed. Okay. Do you know much about the captain?
Well, it depends. What area of expertise are you looking for? You're looking for like what she likes to watch on the Hollow novels, or
I'm looking for fears.
I'd like fears. To hear that.
Fears.
Another time. That's okay.
Hollow novels are later.
Let's see. Hollow novels and fears. Well, I know she likes Jane Austen.
Oh.
Ooh.
But we want fears, because I think I know where you're going with this. Fears. Let me think.
Any tears for fears?
Ooh. You know, now that you mention it. Oh, yeah. That could work. So, how familiar are you with Orions?
Ooh.
Yeah. I've come across a few in my travels.
Well,
in passing.
You know the men, you know how they're the big burly, like they're usually the big burly green skin with kind of like raider outfits on.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there was an incident a while back, and this might be a little bit mean, so I will caution using it against her, but apparently there was an incident about a couple years ago where she ran afoul of three Orion. Not in a bad way. It wasn't anything like bad or anything. Let's just say that she has an irrational fear, is how I would put it.
Okay. I'd like to set up the training exercise system up on the bridge.
Okay. And what do you want it to do specifically?
Orion battle simulation.
Orion battle simulation. Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm going to tell you is you all can assist on this. All of you can assist. This is going to be a daring engineering. This is going to be a difficulty of 5. And if you have anything related to holo programming, anything related to computers, anything related to communications, these are all things that can apply as a focus. But what I will tell you is that the moment you engage the scenario, the quote-unquote the jig will be up. You will not be able to quote-unquote prank anyone else on the ship. So just know that the moment you push the big red button, basically the illusion shatters, more or less, is what I'm getting at.
I don't know if I want to do that.
But I was gonna say, and that is the other option. That is the other option. You can either choose to simply forego this entirely, or you could attempt to prank more people. Entirely up to you.
But does that mean everyone back in engineering is fine?
And
yeah.
Cole kind of looks down the Jeffries tubes. I mean, probably. I mean, let me guess. They looked like they were stunned.
Yes.
Yeah, they did that too. That's actually. Let me. You know the Cation, the doc. You know, red fur and yeah. She has a sedative that you know knocks you out for like 10 minutes, but then you pop up and you're fine. So.
Yeah.
What about
she wrote
the
on her fur?
How long has it been?
What about that mirror
Well, now
universe?
You look at a chronometer, it's been about 20 minutes.
Excellent. What about that mirror universe?
Oh, the mirror universe. Space? Did she do space too?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's simple. I know how to do that.
Yeah, space is the easy one. No, the mirrorverse thing, pretty sure that's just a hologram. You know, a holographic overlay. Which, you know, now that I say this out loud, it seems really mean for the captain to go this far.
Mm-hmm. Do they not usually do this much?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just a lowly crewman that's been here for 3 years and never been promoted, so take this as you will. But, I don't know. I feel like it still ends up bonding pretty well. I mean, yeah, you're going to hate each other for a little bit, but, I mean, unless you're going to leave coffee cups around, I don't really know that it's a good thing to...
Don't start with that. Do you know who's been doing that?
Yeah, actually, I do. Do you not know?
No.
Tell
me,
please.
Well, I'm happy to. And she kind of motions at the panel, and she taps in a few things. And what you see on the view screen is a holographic display, or not a holographic display, just a display of a Bolian, a blue-skinned Bolian. And you would identify him as Lieutenant Draff, one of the nurses aboard the Phoenix. And you see that Draff literally takes two cups of coffee from the replicator, one in each hand. He takes a sip from both. He puts the right one down on a desk, and then he continues past with his left one, and then puts that one down on a desk. You see where this is going.
I'm going to program all his uniforms to be the wrong size for the next 3 months.
All right, now I'm going to anchor in for some prank hearing. My guy, I'm pissed. Like, if you don't want him to do anything bad, irrational, you have to talk him down. He's going to do something.
Okay, so Lois, she could take a joke. She likes a good joke, but this was a little mean. Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
You're saying she took this further than what she normally does. What made her step up her game this year, you think?
In a weird way, I think she's just wanting to see if you'll fit in, which, you know, sounds weird, pranking you and making you feel like an idiot or like a fool. But it's how to say this, because, again, I'm sort of the outsider here. I don't really interact with the crew. I think there's a human expression. You hurt the ones you love, something like that. So she's trying to see if. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Again, I don't really do the interaction with people thing.
I get you there, man.
But, I mean, it's not like she was going to permanently hurt you or do anything that was going to, like, actually hurt. Well, I guess she is kind of hurting you mentally.
We're not hurt, per se.
Are they observing this?
No. This is Junction 8F. No, the security systems don't come down this far.
But have they been observing, like, setting up these situations?
Yeah, somebody had to be in control that entire time.
Okay.
Have you guys ever seen the old Terran film Clue?
Is that the one where it's the... Is that the one where it's the butler with a knife in the dining room?
He's Colonel Mustard, right?
No, it was Colonel Mustard with the wrench and the...
So, if you guys remember, there were secret passages, and we're in the Jeffrey's tube.
Uh-huh.
We could be ghosts and hop around, and perhaps someone unfortunately deceased, but keeps popping up and pranking.
How hollow?
Like that app, like that app Among Us. It got started way back in the 21st century, and it just never died. You mean like that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I've got the holodeck version running for like half the staff. It's a pastime. Okay. How much how much of the ship is actually ready for holograms?
All of it, since we're in the 24th, 25th century, all of the ship is rated for holograms, except for the Jeffrey's Tube Junction you are in currently.
Okay, I want to set it up so that we continue our little adventure as holograms throughout the Jeffrey's Tubes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
and then we go and do some pranking ourselves.
I love it. I love it. So why don't you go ahead? Let's still make that a daring engineering. I'm going to knock down the difficulty to a 4. But it is still a programming role that you all can assist with.
Awesome.
Daring engineering, was it?
Can I take two momentum? Yep. I want to take two momentum for this. I really want to get this.
Okay.
Well, how many dice are you wanting? Because it's one momentum for one die. It is 3 momentum for 2 die.
Yes. I want to take 2 dice.
Okay, so spending three momentum. So you're rolling 4 and then...
And my holodeck,
Yep, would apply. And then Keela and Solaris, if you also want to assist, just go ahead and give me your own daring engineerings and let's see what we get.
Oh, really?
Strong start. Very strong start. All right, so that is a grand total of IC 5, which means you get a momentum right back. So... a little bit farther down the Jeffrey's tubes where you just came from, you see yourselves materialize in hollow form and go and begin going through the motions. But presumably at the moment, you are free to begin pranking.
Right.
Keela would like to do some sort of prank, like in Clue. And maybe have her hologram involved, because they all know about the mirror thing, obviously. If she maybe she could come running back into engineering and her clone is chasing her and then quote unquote kills her. She's taking this a little too far, but she's on it now. So unless someone stops her, she's too excited to see the reactions. And then the clone takes off and then her body's just there, but then except maybe she's the one killing the clone and then the clone's left there and whenever they figure the jig is up, it would disappear or something.
No, I like where your head's at. I think I get what you're going for. So we'll say that's what Keela's prank's going to be. Let's actually go
and she would like to do it along with Cole, because she also wanted to talk to Cole about the work they do in the Jeffrey's tubes, because she likes to work in the Jeffrey's tube, but she never gets those jobs. So obviously Cole gets those jobs. So she's like, let's chat.
Yeah, so Cole's very happy to chat with someone. Apparently she doesn't get to chat a whole lot, so she's like, if the entire crew doesn't begin pranking each other till the end of time, I guess we could go to the mess hall, though we would have to eat Jensen's cooking if we went to the mess hall. Yeah, let's go to Shraz, and then we'll go to Solaris. So Shraz, what is your prank going to be?
I think I still want to prank the captain, but I've calmed down enough to not make it scarring.
Okay.
I think we're going to have some ghost ships in a thing. Like, all of a sudden, a Romulan bird of prey shows up, and then attacks, but disappears all of a sudden. Maybe something that doesn't cloak. Maybe another starship comes in and it's not responding to hails and all of a sudden attacks or something. Like something.
Well, the only reason I would say a Romulan warbird would actually work is because I don't know if you remember that one episode of Next Generation where they're kind of doing war games and Riker's in charge of this dinky old Stargazer class or Constellation class. And he does that where he overrides the prefect codes and makes the Enterprise actually think there's a Romulan warbird out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think you as an engineer would know exactly how to do that sort of thing.
Cool. I'll do that.
All right.
But I'd love it also so that at some point the Romulans are just all on board the ship. It's all of a sudden saying, gotcha. It's something.
They beam in?
But don't even beam in, just appear. Mm-hmm. I want this to be horror.
Love it.
They turn around and suddenly a Romulan's there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got it.
All right.
So that's going to be your prank. Solaris, what is your counter prank going to be?
She's going to be less scary and just more irritating in that everything that gets ordered from a replicator is only going to be oatmeal.
Only oatmeal.
No matter what they order, that is, it's going to be the same thing.
How long do you want this to go on?
Maybe just for the rest of the day.
Rest of the day? Okay. So, in sort of montage fashion, because I think that's the best way to handle all three pranks at once, we see Keela and her clone almost vaporize each other in main engineering in front of the entire, well, not the entire, but most of the command staff. So the command staff begin freaking out and trying to treat the quote-unquote corpse of Keela.
TM is crying.
Yeah, TM is there to, you know, the hollow TM is there to sell it as well, you know, kind of moaning and going, kind of noises. On the bridge, we see the captain ordering, you know, everybody to red alert as like a Romulan warbird uncloaks. And then an Orion captain starts talking to her and she starts freaking out a little bit. And, you know, eventually, you know, the Romulans beam in, quote unquote, and go, ha, I gotcha, kind of a thing. And then, you
it
know, as every...
like a Mirachi band and stuff, too.
That's, a, you know what, Romulan Mirachi? Yes, that is exactly what happens. A Romulan Mirachi band appears and just begins playing. And then finally, as everybody starts to get a hold of, like, okay, all right, they got us back. You know, gig is up. We got found out. They go to replicate a, you know, something out of the replicator. And Solaris, you were a little too good because the oatmeal does come out of the replicator, but it's not in a bowl. It is literally just a stream out of the replicator into their faces.
Oh. I'm here to play the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mess everywhere. Oh, but poor Jensen.
No, but that means Jensen.
And it's funny you mentioned Jensen because you can see as we sort of move to the mess hall, see Jensen. Okay. Jensen is like finishing putting the mop that you signed on the wall, and he suddenly stops and turns and looks. I sense a great disturbance, as if hundreds of replicators cried out at once and then were silenced. This is Big Coffee. I freaking knew it. This is Big Coffee again. I know it. I know this is Big Coffee. He looks at the broom. No, I will not use you. You were given to me by a cold brew. And he goes...
If he turns around, there's another broom, a brand new broom. I replicated and transported in for him.
He takes it. He looks around and says, thank you, great sky god. Hi. Okay, I'm gonna go clean up now. And we see Jensen just leaving. We get cleaning up the mess. But back in the Jeffries tube at the ass end of the ship, I think Cole just witnessing all this is like almost doubled over laughing at this point. Like she's like,
awkward.
Well done. I don't think anyone's gonna prank anyone now on the ship for at least another 6 months. But well done.
I am not calm. Mess with the engineering crew, you get the engineering crew to mess with you.
Yeah. We're the ones who built this ship. Not us, but you know what I mean.
Well, I'm gonna go finish my job before something actually burns out. But Keela, we'll talk later, yeah?
Yeah, let's.
Cool. And have fun with all that. And Cole climbs into a Jeffries tube, and unless anyone stops her, just sort of vanishes. And what's up?
If there's any holographic programs you want to use, let me know. I can get it for you. I know suppliers. I know how to make it. Just tell me what you want. I can get it.
You there's a beach on Rise I've always wanted to visit.
Ah, yes, that's a good one. Yep, I got that.
Cool.
As she goes, I try to call that she dropped something, but it's like, yeah, just let her go. And it's
well,
like,
well, no. I think she's kind of got those keen ears, so she stops and goes, yeah, what did I drop? What's up?
Never mind.
Are you sure? And she kind of looks at her toolkit. I
mean, there's a it's actual paper, and Solaris.
And her eyes go wide, and she kind of runs forward to grab the paper, like, you don't want to read that. Not important. Nope.
It is
literally her diary, where it's like, dear diary, today I was in the Jeffries tube and no one visited me. I was sad. And it's just, it is the most heartbreaking thing that you've ever read in your life. And she, if she wasn't red already, she would be more crimson.
I didn't see any of it.
And doing her best not to stutter or make any noises, she just carefully takes it, folds it up, puts it in a pocket, nods at all of you, and then awkwardly crawls off.
You know what? I like this Jeffrey's tube. I might come here often.
Ela already has plans to often hang out with Cole.
It's about this time that all of you get a chirp on your communicator, and assuming you answer, Commander Baker comes over and says, "All right, ensigns, I see you figured it out. Well done. Well done. You've passed the test with flying colors."
"We aren't your previous engineers, sir."
"Well, that's exactly why we did this, because let's just say the last engineers that came through here, well, I'm sure you've heard by now that they were transferred off, but let's just say they were not in the family spirit of things." "Mm. Now, of course, if you want to hate anyone, hate me. I was kind of the one that pushed for all this, but just know that I did it for good reasons. And, of course, if you feel I went too far, it is well within your right to submit a formal complaint to Starfleet Command."
And Keela will, kind of in a gravelly, anguished voice, be like, "I hate you!" And she'll turn and walk away. But before she, like, leaves the room, she'll kind of, smirk over her shoulder as she, like, leaves the room with TM. And then she'll pop back in, "Respectfully, sir," and then walk away, and then leave.
"Well, if you're still feeling the partying mood, we've refilled the punch bowl, we've got new decorations, and Hollow Jensen wants to fight more people at once, so if you want to do more lightsaber stuff..."
"Commander, if I could maybe acquire one of these prop lightsabers, I might be able to jury-rig something that might be a little more less prop-like."
"You have 5 minutes to get down here, and then I will put you in for promotion sometime in the future."
"Yes, sir."
And Baker almost turns off the badge at that, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, Ensign Thriller, how you feeling, buddy?"
"Better."
"Better.
But if you ever do that again..."
"I know, you'll kill me. I know. I know.
No. It's going to be worse than death."
"Oh. Oh.
I walk off."
Okay. And as you all go back to your business, whatever that business may be in the Phoenix, I believe that is where we'll end today's session.
Oh, but yeah. One more note.
Well, yeah, what's the one note? What do we got?
One more note. As Solaris is, like, digging through parts and, like, trying to actually put things together, she's like, she had found some stuff from the last place that they had been on. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, okay, that works. That doesn't work. And what's this?" And a flyer for Spirit Halloween. Listen, that's a little on the mark. It was abandoned. Never mind. And she just keeps digging through.
I always got to remember to do that. I got to remember your gag. Got to remember it. All right. Love it. What did you guys think? Because that was something where I've done this to a few different crews. I've done this to, and these were mostly offline games that I did the prank angle to. But I've also done, like, the full horror angle to players as well. And I've kind of got mixed reactions. I'm curious where you guys stand, whether or not it was like an appropriate prank for Starfleet of a crew that wasn't like TNG level. But what were your thoughts, good or bad? You know, what were your thoughts on that?
I liked it.
It was fine.
Yeah, I think after a while, I think I could see that sort of prank happening, especially with the technologies and stuff. Like,
probably could have gone further with it, but yeah, it was fine.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I think my character thinks it's far enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing where I was deliberately trying to see how far I could push the characters, but I was trying to be hyper aware of when the characters were reaching a breaking point.
Sure.
Because once a character reaches the breaking point, you sort of either have to back off or you have to keep pushing. And it's one of those strange GM dances you have to do sometimes. So, but it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just a thing you have to watch out for. But yeah, I thought it was a good session. I saw you all laughing and smiling, which is really what matters to me. So I will count those as a success. All right. So before we turn off for the night, we do have a few things to cover. So next week, which would be the 30th, we are off the 30th. I believe we're back on the 6th. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe so. I'm okay. Available.
All right, so we should be back on the 6th, but if not, we'll definitely be back by the 13th. And with that, I'm going to end the recording for YouTube, but Twitch, stick around, because we're going to raid somebody. But YouTube, see you later.